In God's Word, we're going to read in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, and we're going to read starting with verse 25 today. This is the account of the woman with the issue of blood. You'll find this account in Mark 5. It's not just in Mark 5, it's also in Matthew chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 8, in those three Gospels. The same story, just from a little bit different perspective from the different writers, the different disciples. But this story came to my mind yesterday morning when I received a text from Brother Todd Sloggett. And he said to me, "I just got through praying for you, Pastor. You should be feeling it any moment." When he said that, I know it was, he texts me from time to time and says, "I'm praying for you," and I appreciate it. I really do. I know there's a little bit of humor there, but when he said that, I thought back about 35 years ago. I was sitting in a camp meeting in Oklahoma, and our brother Havis Crawford was the preacher that night. For those of you that knew or heard, have ever heard Brother Crawford preach, he's a mountain man from Virginia. He was not really, didn't have an education that much, but he was a powerful preacher. He was a powerful man in the pulpit. God anointed him and used him. And I remember sitting that. I was quite a bit younger 35 years ago. But I remember he was preaching on this text, the woman with the issue of blood. And he was talking about the part where Jesus said, "I felt virtue go out of me." And he said, "I don't know exactly what that was." He said, "All I know is that Jesus felt it when it left, and the woman felt it when it came." That virtue was power. It was power. So let's look at this this morning from Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment." Now, when you read the account in Luke chapter 8, it says that she touched the border of his garment, or the hem of his garment, in that account in Luke chapter 8. But here it says that she touched his garment. "For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' His disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Amen. Now, just before I started reading in verse 25, just a few verses before that, kind of gives a little clearer picture as to why Jesus was where he was at that particular moment. Because there was a man who was a ruler in the synagogue, an influential and important religious leader, who had come to Jesus and said, "My little girl is sick and she's about to die. Would you come? He pleaded with Jesus. So Jesus said, I'll go. And he's traveling, walking the journey to Jairus' house to see about Jairus' daughter. And while he's going along the way, this was an unplanned meeting with this woman with the issue of blood. But yet, it really gives to us a very wonderful lesson in the fact that it really doesn't matter what is going on in your circumstance or in your life. The Lord has time for you. He's got time for you. Whatever's going on in your circumstance today, and this is to ladies, this is to mothers, this is to everybody in this service today. The Lord cares enough about you that he has time for you. You're not just, you know, a second thought or a third thought, but the Lord cares about you and he cares about your needs. They're important to him. He has time for you. But let's just look a little bit at the circumstance that this woman was in. She had been sick for 12 years long. Anytime that anyone would have a circumstance, a physical circumstance that they were losing blood, then they're going to have all kinds of complications in their body. They're going to be anemic. They're going to be weak. They're going to be sick not only in that particular problem, but it's going to affect other parts of their body because the blood, the scripture says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the blood that flows through your body, it does a lot of things, a lot more than I could ever describe here today. But there's a healing effect that takes place all throughout your body as impurities are carried out. Oxygen is carried to all the various organs of your body. And the blood, as it flows through your body, it is accomplishing a lot of things. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And so she is frail, she is weak, she's probably in pain, and she is probably carrying about impurities in her body, and so she is struggling. This is a depiction of you and me and everyone, not just a woman or a lady, but all of us who are depleted and we are weak and we are in need of help from the Lord. Her life is literally ebbing away. This has been going on for 12 years. They call that a chronic sickness or a chronic disease. When it just goes on and on and on and on, the weeks go by and the months go by and the years go by and you remain sick. And that her situation was that she was literally physically depleted in every way. And not only was she physically depleted, but she was financially broke. She had spent all, the scripture says, that all that she had and on doctors and on physicians, and she had spent everything. And so now here she is financially in poverty, and nothing that she did was helping her. She had spent all. So she's physically in need. As I guess we could say, in another way, as far as the word issues, this woman had a lot of issues. I mean, she was physically in need. She was financially broke. And then she had suffered much because of physicians. Not only did they take all of her money, but apparently the treatments have been terrible. And you can read about old-fashioned types of treatments that were done even 100 years ago. And it was horrible, the things that doctors did to people. You can imagine. It says she suffered much of many physicians. But no man could help her. Nobody could help her. There was no cure. There was no answer that she had. So she had trust issues. Nobody could help her. So she didn't put any of her trust or her confidence in anyone. Let me tell you, you can find yourself in a predicament that you're physically depleted, that you're financially broke, and that you don't really put any of your trust in anyone because everyone seems to let you down and fail you. That was the circumstance of this woman. She had suffered much socially. She had an unbelievable circumstance socially. As far as her interaction with people, because of her issue of blood, according to Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 9, a woman that faced this kind of a circumstance, verse 19, she was declared to be unclean. She was separated from people. She wasn't allowed to interact or to be around people. If anyone touched her, they would be then declared unclean themselves. She couldn't go into the tabernacle to worship. She was not only socially affected, she was spiritually affected by this. So she had all of these different problems, all of these different issues. So because of what Leviticus 15 says, she was isolated, she was alone, she seemed far from God and away from everyone. Her circumstance was pitiful. And she was desperate. Have you ever seen people desperate before? I have. I've witnessed people who become desperate in their life. Desperate because they come to the end of their own strength and they've lost hope or they don't know what to do. I wanted to give you this word of encouragement here today. Because no matter what your issues might be, the Lord is able to come by. And He is able to minister to you. And He's able to help you. And He's the answer. He's the cure when there is no cure. When there is no answer. When you have no money. When you have no resources. When you have nothing left to lean on. You can look to the Lord today. Put your confidence in Him. Now faith is a wonderful thing. Faith is a wonderful thing. The Bible says she had heard that Jesus was coming by. We can tell from reading all three of these different texts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When you read through all of them, you'll come to a couple of conclusions. Number one, she knew some things about the law of God. And she had learned some things about Jesus. And I believe she believed that He was the Son of God. She believed that He could help her when no one else could help her. And so because of that, she mustered up some courage and some faith, just enough in her weak situation. And knowing she's going to face ridicule and shame as she tries to go out into the crowd, because now a great throng of people are crowded around Jesus. And the only way that she can get through Him is to go against the law that she knew that she was restricted by. And so she's going to have to break through all of that. And she's got to have a tremendous amount of faith that this encounter with Jesus is going to make a difference. Praise God. Praise God that Jesus can come by and He can help you in the circumstance that you might be in today. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This was a woman that was getting ready to activate her faith. She was getting ready to step out and to go against all of these things that had gone against her for 12 years. She's too weak to fight against the crowd. She has no way to pay someone to help her to get to Jesus. She has no man or anyone that she trusts to help her to get to Jesus. And there's a great crowd that's gathered around Him as He's passing by. She knows this is the moment. This is my chance. I'm going to have to go against everything that's been against me all of these years. And I'm going to have to try my best to get to Jesus. That's what she did. So let me give you some suggestions this morning. If you find yourself in a desperate circumstance and you need the Lord, you need help, and doctors haven't been able to help you, nobody has been able to help you, and you spent and you spent and you spent and you spent. I spent a few days in the hospital in January, and it's crazy because we'll get a bill and we'll pay it and feel relieved, like, okay, it's over. And then a week or two later, we get another bill. And we'll pay that one or pay on it. And then another week or two will go by. It's never going to end, it don't seem like. They're just going to keep on. It's almost as if they're in a room saying, oh, they must have a little bit of money. They sent us a couple of $100. Let's see if they got a little bit more. And we'll just keep trying. I have suffered much of many physicians in the last few months. Not really. Not really too bad. This woman recognized that she was going to have to activate her faith. She knew some things about the law of God. She knew some things about Jesus. She had heard who he was and what he was doing. And she believed he was Jesus, the Son of God. And so she is ready to activate her faith. And the first thing that she had to do is make a move toward God. She had to make a move toward God. Let me tell you this morning, ladies, mothers, fathers, anyone in this room today, that you find yourself in a predicament, you don't know what to do, and you can't seem to find a solution. There doesn't seem to be a cure. There doesn't seem to be a way to resolve all the problems. You've got issues today. I almost call this message, "You've Got Issues." Faith is a wonderful thing, and faith is activated by action. It is activated by movement, by a response to truth. It's activated by works, by moving, doing something, stepping forward as a show of your confidence in God. And she began moving toward the crowd. Amen. If you want to receive from the Lord this morning, if you want to receive from the Lord, you're going to have to make a move toward God. You can either lay in your distrust and your anger and your fear and your worry and all of the things that are beating you down and destroying you, or you can step forward and you can begin to pursue God. Begin to move toward the things of God. Begin to move toward the promises of God. And that's what this woman did. She moved toward the crowd. Now remember, she said, "If I can just touch his clothes, or if I could just get out and touch the hem of his garment, then I believe I'll be healed if I could just get close enough to him." You have to remember there's a great crowd around Jesus, and the only way she can get to the hem of his garment is she has to get low. She has to humble herself. You're not going to get anywhere with God if you're self-confident and proud and arrogant and you think you can make it on your own. Number one, if you want to move toward the things of God, you've got to activate your faith and make a move toward God. Then number two, you're going to have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. She had to get low. If you can get the picture in your mind, there are people walking all around Jesus. They want to hear every word he's saying. They want to get as close to him as they can. The throng of people, it's a great crowd of people. So she's on her all fours. She's crawling amongst the feet and the legs of all that throng of people. She could have been humiliated and humbled. It looks like something degrading, but this is a desperate lady. And when you get desperate, it really doesn't matter what people think. It really doesn't matter what people think. You just want to get to the Lord. You just want to get to Jesus. You're just so weary with the struggle and the worries of your problem. She had to get low. She had to humble herself. And if you want help from the Lord, you're going to have to be willing to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. James chapter 4. "He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Praise God. Humble yourself. This is verse 10 of James chapter 4. "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." How appropriate for this woman who's down on her all fours, trying to get to Jesus, trying to move through the crowd. I would imagine that there are people in that crowd that are kind of saying, "What is going on down here?" Kicking at her, "Get out of here, get away from us, get out of here." But she is persistently moving down low, moving toward Jesus, the Son of God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Amen. When you're proud, when you're arrogant, when you're self-sufficient, when you think, "I can do this on my own," then God is going to back away. God receives the humble, but rejects those that are pride and that are full of pride and self-sufficient. This woman finally broke through the crowd, and the Bible says she touched the bottom, the hem of his garment. And when she did, instantly, she was healed. Praise God. That moment that she touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. Why? Well, we know it was because she had touched the Lord. But why the hem of his garment? Look with me in Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, these are instructions to the children of Israel. Verse 38. Speak to the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they may put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. Sounds kind of strange, but everything that God does and says, he has a purpose for it. The next verse, verse 39. It says, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring. Verse 40, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. When that woman stretched herself from her knees to touch the hem of his garment, she must have had a good understanding of the law of God. She understood that that fringe, it was probably the closest in proximity that she could get to Jesus. But she was okay with that because she likely understood the law of God, and she understood that that hem of his garment was a symbol that reminded the children of Israel of the law of God and the promises of God, the word of God. And so this was a stretch that this woman made, and placing her confidence in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and upon the word of the Lord, the promise of God, the law of God. And as she touched that fringe, that hem of the garment, she was instantly healed. Glory to God. And the Bible says that virtue flowed out of Jesus. And he said, who touched me? And the disciples were like, what is he talking about? There are hundreds of people here in this crowd. Why is he saying, who touched me? Why is he saying that? You know, you can be in church and you can be with the crowd and not really touch the Lord. You can just be a part of the crowd and not really experience the presence of God. You can come to church and leave just like you came, unchanged, untouched. Or you can be like this woman who really touched him. Who really touched him. And when she touched him, her faith that was already activated in her confidence in God, and her stepping forward and going against all the issues that she was facing and reaching and struggling to get to Jesus, humbling herself to get to Jesus, and finally touching the hem of his garment. That was a symbol of the word of God and the promise of God. And she was instantly healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Virtue, which just is a word that means power or energy, flowed out of him. He knew it when it left, and she knew it when it came. When virtue flowed into her, instantly, she was healed. It was a miracle. And what a glorious thing that it was. But that's not the end of the story. Because Jesus is saying, who touched me? He wanted her to identify herself. Amen. Who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, you see the multitude thronging me, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. She was trying to slip back in the crowd and hide away. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She told him everything. This is when it started. It's 12 years ago. I got sick. I've tried everything. She told him everything.
She told him all of the struggles that she had gone through. All of the fear. All the times when she was ready to give up. All the times when she lost heart. She told him everything. And here's the wonderful statement that Jesus then makes to her just before he heads out for Jairus' house. Before he leaves her, he says, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." You notice that this is a woman that's been rejected. This is a woman that's been socially an outcast. She's been alone. She's been in a circumstance of hopelessness. Probably wanted her life to end, but somehow faith rose up in her heart and she got to Jesus and she was touched and healed that day. But when she told Jesus all of the things, Jesus said, "Daughter, daughter." He was really identifying her as family. "You're not rejected anymore. You now have a place in the family of God. You belong. You're not alone anymore. You're not going through this by yourself anymore. But you belong. You're a daughter. You're in the family. I love you. I care about you." Oh, there are a lot of desperate people in our world today. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. Suicide is just, it's going up, up, up in the statistics in our nation. People are losing hope. They're giving up and taking their own lives. There's a desperation in the hearts of people that are facing all kinds of things. But Jesus wants you to bring them to Him and tell Him all about it. He wants you to tell Him about your financial problems, and He wants you to tell Him about your sickness and your physical problems. He wants you to tell Him about your spiritual problems, your social problems. He wants you to tell Him about rejection and how you feel and all that you've gone through and how long it's been since you've really felt like anybody cared about you. But that day Jesus said, "Daughter, daughter," what a statement of acceptance. You know how fathers are with their children? Fathers are with their daughters. Let me tell you, this was Jesus letting her know, this is where you belong. You're in the right place. You're accepted of the Father. And I can help you and I will help you. And then He said to her, "Your faith has made you whole." And He uses the word whole again. "Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." You see, all of these problems, all of these issues in her life, it probably started with her physical sickness. But then it spread and it affected every area of her life. But now Jesus is saying, "You're not just healed, you're whole. I'm taking care of it all. I want to take care of all of your needs, all of your worries, all of your problems." Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So I don't know, but as I was going through this story once again, I was just thinking about the fact, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about on Mother's Day. But I just thought about, you know, there's probably going to be people in that service that they are at the end of their strength and they don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. They don't seem to have an answer, a solution to the things that they're struggling with. You can bring it to the Lord. On this Mother's Day morning, you can commit your needs to the Lord. If they're physical or financial needs, family problems, you may feel alone, you may feel rejected, you may feel like there's no answer, that no one really cares. You may feel like you've been mistreated. You may feel like that no one really cares about what's happening to you. Oh, but you're wrong. You're wrong. Because He does. He cares. He cares. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you can cry out to God today. And you can receive help. Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power when you reach out and touch Him. When you put confidence in Jesus, the Son of God. When you put confidence in His Word. And the promises of God, there's an answer. There's a way that you can. playing right now. And let's look to the Lord today. Those of you in this service, the Spirit of God is talking to you, dealing with you, and you know there are really areas of your life you really need help from the Lord. Moms, get help today. Ladies, get help today.